Well, hey, Mission Hill, so good to have you with us, no matter where you are or how it is that you're joining us. So glad that you are joining us for the beginning of a new series that I actually think may be one of the most important series that we're going to deal with this year. God has some amazing plans in all of our lives through this series. Now, before I get into the content of the series, though, I need to deliver some bad news. And here's the bad news. Not everything that you were told as a kid is true, okay? Some of the things that we were told as children is simply just not true, okay? Now, I'm not talking about the stuff that adults sometimes tell kids to make their lives easier, that is, the adults' lives easier, okay? So if any of you were ever told that that song that the ice cream trucks play, oh, they only play that when the ice cream truck is out of ice cream, okay? If anybody was told that, by the way, not true. Some of you are like, what, right? But that's just to make adults' lives easier, and there are some things that sometimes get told for that reason. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, okay? I'm also not talking about the kind of stuff that we sometimes tell kids in order to just kind of mess with them, lovingly mess with them. Like when my kids were little, every time we got near an automatic door, I would say out loud, "Open, please." And for years, my kids believed that those doors were voice activated, okay? And I just loved that moment when one of them finally came home and went, "Dad," right? Okay, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff either, okay? I'm talking about stuff that adults told us that they actually believed was true. At least I think they believed it was true. And the reason they told it to us was because they thought it was going to make things better for us, okay? And there's actually quite a few of those things that we were told that turn out not to be true. So we're actually going to do a little kind of a countdown, okay? Top five things that most of us were told as kids that turns out not to be true. And so if you're watching with somebody, and I hope you are, why don't you just tell them if you were told this truth? Here's number five. Number five is if you swallow gum, it stays in your stomach for 7 years. How many of us were told that? It's just not true. It just absolutely isn't true. In fact, it's a little bit gross, okay? But if you're a parent and you've had small children in your life, then you know that when they swallow gum, it passes quite easily and quickly and fully intact, okay? That is enough said on that. Sorry. Don't even know why I went down that particular road, okay? Number four, you have to wait 30 minutes after you eat before you go in swimming. How many of us were told that, right? Now, that one might be one of those self-serving ones. I think my mom told me that just because she didn't want to go in swimming yet, okay? But I actually found out as I was researching this that the 1908 Boy Scout manual, okay, actually says that you have to wait 90 minutes before you go back in after eating or you'll cramp up and die, and it literally says, and it will be your fault, okay? Well, it turns out that's just not true. You don't have to wait 90 minutes. You don't even have to wait 30 minutes. Okay, number three, if you swallow watermelon seeds, a watermelon plant will grow in your stomach. How many of you were told that? Okay, I definitely heard that one growing up. I guess apparently like stomach acid is nowhere near as strong as watermelon seeds, some kind of like titanium encased seed going on there. Okay, not true. It's just not true. It doesn't happen. Number two, sitting too close to the TV will ruin your eyes. I definitely heard that one. How many of you did, right? Here's the interesting thing is, like, we never were sitting closer to the TV than we are today to our screens, right? I mean, I might be 5 or 6 feet away from a screen, and, you know, and my parents are like, oh, you're ruining your eyes. Well, now I spend all day, every day with my screen right there, like, typing, you know? Boy, if that would ruin our eyes, then our eyes are all in massive trouble. And it turns out, in fact, that it's just not true. And then the number one thing that we were told as kids that turns out just to not be true, drum roll, please, is sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. And most of us know that's just a lie, right? We know that it's just not true. And I know we were usually told that by a well-meaning adult who was trying to make us feel better after somebody made us feel bad by something they said about us or something that they said to us. But the truth of the matter is, while sticks and stones do break your bones, words can kill your soul. Words are incredibly painful things, incredibly dangerous things. And the reality is that we live in a world that's based on words. It's more true now than it has ever been before, that our words have power. And our words have the power to wound, and our words have the power to do some tremendous damage. If you've ever doubted that human beings have a sinful nature, you don't have to look any further than the comment section in YouTube or Instagram or Facebook. Because it's not just that we put out words in so many platforms like that, but other people can come back at us with words. And if you look at the comment section on any of those social media platforms, you will see beyond a shadow of a doubt that We use words in ways that they were clearly never intended, and they're powerful. And words wound. In fact, I came across this really powerful video. It's by a woman named Lindsay Sterling. She's a violinist. I love her work. And also, it's a collaboration with Switchfoot, which is a very popular Christian band back in the 90s. And they recorded this song. And in the song, I'm going to play a clip of it for you. You're going to see some words appearing. And those were all words that were actually said to them in comments about their work online. Words are powerful. Words wound, and they don't make clean cuts, right? They're infectious wounds. They're wounds that they get infected. They're wounds that actually start with toxin in them, and that toxin just sinks in deep, and it continues to do damage long after the words themselves have been spoken, and long after the speaker has even forgotten that they've said them. The book of James, written by an early follower of Jesus, in fact, the half-brother of Jesus himself, said this all the way almost 2,000 years ago about the power of words. He said this. This is James chapter 3, verse 5. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, and reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed, and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Words wound, and our words inject poison that ultimately doesn't just break bones, it kills souls. And so what we're going to do in this series is we're going to tackle four kinds of what I call toxic talk that I believe we're all tempted by, okay? We're all tempted by each of these. And these aren't specific to a gender. They're not specific to an age group. They're not specific to any particular kind of grouping or category of people. These are things I think that always all of us struggle with, that all of us always struggle with. Okay? And what we're going to do in this series is we're going to do two things. Number one, we're going to learn to recognize. And number two, we're going to learn to resist these kinds of toxic talk. We're going to learn to recognize and to resist these kinds of toxic talk. And the first talk that we're going to tackle, first toxic talk that we're going to tackle, a lot of T's there, is, I'm going to be honest, it's one I struggle with. And it's one I struggle with more than I am comfortable with you knowing how much I struggle with it. And the funny thing is, it's actually not a kind of toxic talk that I ever thought that I did struggle with. In fact, if you'd asked me a few weeks ago before I began preparing for this message, I probably would have told you, well, that one is one that I don't really struggle with. Because in my head, this is something that particular groups of people, and I'm going to be perfectly honest with you here, that I tended to think that this was something that women struggled with. And I know that's totally sexist. Women, I apologize. It was wrong. But I tended to think that women did it. And sometimes I thought that older people had a tendency to do it, especially older women. So that's ageist, right? And so I just confess those sins of assumption before you right now. But I didn't think that I struggle with it. And yet, as I began to understand God's heart towards this particular kind of toxic talk and to understand how God defines it, I began to realize I do struggle with that. That is actually something that's a part of my life that I need to recognize and I need to resist. And the talk that I'm talking about is gossip. It's gossip. Why don't you go ahead and grab a Bible and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. We're going to be in verse 28 to start off today. And while you're making your way to Proverbs 16, 28, let me just say this, a little bit of a different series for us for the next few weeks. Typically at Mission Hills, what we do is we unpack a passage of scripture and we take it apart, make sure we understand all the pieces, then we put it back together and make sure we understand what it looks like to apply it in our lives. But the book of Proverbs doesn't really have passages. It has pearls, okay? It has pearls of wisdom. And so we're going to have to jump around a little bit in the book of Proverbs to get all of God's wisdom regarding these particular kinds of toxic talk, especially or beginning with this one called gossip, okay? So Proverbs 16, 28 says this about gossip. It says, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. Perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. Now, let me give you a little kind of Bible hack here, actually. And that is that the book of Proverbs is written in poetic form. And what that means is that it's kind of stylized language, and it's not prose, meaning it's not like, you know, the kind of written speech that you would do if you would kind of like trying to capture how you would talk out loud, okay? It's a little bit fancier. It's a little bit more sort of formal. It's a little bit more stylized. And in Hebrew, poetry isn't defined by rhyming, and it's not even necessarily defined by rhythm. In Hebrew, poetry is defined by something called parallelism. And what that means is that if you look at a piece of Hebrew poetry, you'll typically see two or more lines where one line kind of begins and it has some elements. And then the second, maybe even the third or the fourth line, then kind of repeat very similar ideas. Each of the ideas in the first line are paralleled by similar elements in the second or the third or the fourth. And often it's the case that you just have two, okay? And the most common way that you have that parallelism work out is what we call synonymous parallelism, which means that the second element that connects to the first one is very similar. It's synonymous with the first one, but a lot of times it expands it a little bit. And when we recognize that form of writing, we look at this proverb and it tells us immediately, as we recognize these parallel elements, it tells us two things about gossip that I think we got to grab a hold of right off the bat. And here's what it tells us. It tells us that gossip is twisted talk that creates division. It's twisted talk that creates division. In fact, can we just go back real quick and I'll show you why it does that. It says a perverse person, and that's paralleled by the word gossip, okay? So gossip is a perverse person. Then it says stirs up conflict, and that's paralleled by separates close friends. So again, gossip is twisted talk that creates division. Why do I say it's twisted talk? Well, because that's what perversion means. Right? It says that a gossip is a perverse person, and you need to set aside whatever it is that you're picturing right now, because sometimes we hear the word perverse or perverted, and we have certain images that come to mind, but really, perverse or perverted literally just means that it's bent, that it's twisted, that it deviates from true, okay? Well, one of the ways to think about this is an arrow. See, for an arrow to work right, for an arrow to fly true and hit the target it was intended to, the shaft has to be perfectly straight. And in fact, if the shaft is bent, if it is twisted, if it is literally perverted, if it deviates from straight, then the arrow isn't going to fly straight. It's not going to fly true, and it's going to end up doing something it was never intended to do. It's going to hit something it was never intended to do, and it's going to cause damage where it was never intended to cause damage. And so what it's interesting that the proverb says is that a gossip is a kind of twisted talk. And what twisted thing does it do? Well, what does it say? It says that it separates close friends. It creates division. And that's not what talk is supposed to do. In fact, God gave us the tongue. God gave us our words so that we could do some really great things. He gave us our words so that we can praise him, okay? There's power in that. He gave us words so that we can encourage one another, and there's tremendous power in that. He gave us words so that we can communicate ideas and collaborate and figure out how to move forward together on mission with Jesus, extending God's influence in the world. All of our words have the ability to do that. And ultimately, one of the biggest and highest goals of our talk, of our tongues, is to create unity, okay? So our tongues can bring unity to our community if they're flying true. But if our words are not being used the way they're intended, if they're twisted, if they deviate, if they're perverse, instead of bringing unity to the community, they bring division. That's what he says, right? He says they separate close friends. Now why? Why does gossip separate close friends? Well, basically, it's because gossip destroys trust. And you know this. You've experienced it, I'm quite certain. At some point in your life, either somebody has gossiped about you, in which case you stopped trusting them, or you have gossiped about somebody, in which case they've stopped trusting you. Okay, gossip destroys trust. But why? Why exactly does gossip destroy trust? Well, check this out. This is Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. It says this, a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. A gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. That's what a gossip does. We're beginning to zero in here on exactly what gossip is. And I want to just acknowledge for a moment that if you're at all like me, before I began studying this, I really kind of tended to think about gossip in a way that wasn't biblical. It wasn't defined the way God does it. When I pictured somebody gossiping, I tended to picture somebody kind of, you know, going behind somebody's back and then speaking something probably that was a lie, something that wasn't true, that was designed to damage their their reputation. It was designed to hurt them or embarrass them in some way. That's what I tended to think about gossip as being. But as I began to study it, I realized that that's not quite true. The reality is that gossip often involves true information that shouldn't be shared. It just shouldn't be shared. In fact, I think what this begins to tell us right here when it says that a gossip betrays a confidence is that the best way to think about gossip is just this. Gossip is making public what should have been kept private. That's all it is. It's making public what should have been kept private. It's not necessarily a lie. In fact, I think typically in the Bible, gossip isn't a lie. Typically, it is true. And it's not even always intended to bring harm to another person. Sometimes the harm comes inadvertently. It comes accidentally. But it comes because what should have been kept private ends up going public. It ends up going wide. That's what gossip is. And for me, at least when I began to realize that, that's when I had that light bulb moment where I realized I struggle with this kind of toxic talk. I absolutely do. Gossip is any time that we take something that should have been private and we go public with it. And when I say public, I don't even necessarily mean like, you know, we splash it all over the internet, okay? I'm not talking about getting on YouTube and recording something that all your subscribers listen to or posting it in a forum where you know lots of people read it. I'm not even talking about it really going far and wide. Really, when I talk about public, I just mean that you're making it more public than it should have been. You're in possession of some information that some people around you are not, and you make it more public by giving it to them, and you shouldn't have done that. That's all that gossip is. And we do it for a lot of different reasons. It's interesting to me, there's actually three different Hebrew words that are translated as gossip, as a gossiping person. And if we look at those three Hebrew words, we find out some interesting insights into why it is, I think, that we gossip, okay? The first word is rakil, and it really kind of translates to the informer. That's the first kind of gossip, the informer. Hebrew word, again, it's rakhil. And another way to translate it would be a teller of tales, a storyteller. This is a person who just has a deep-seated need to inform other people about something, okay? And the reality is that sometimes we're informing people about something that we've got no business informing them of. We might do that for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes we inform people because we like being the center of attention, right? And the reality is that gossip sells, right? You know that. When we start telling a story that we thought was interesting and people start kind of checking out, you know, you drop a little bit of gossip into that, a little bit of information that we have that they don't have, and suddenly the attention perks up, right? Heard a comedian talking about this recently. I don't even know who it was. I was listening on Pandora and it just popped through, but he was saying, hey, little kids learn this real early on because, you know, when they're telling stories, they're all over the place and they're starting and backing up and throwing in all these details and adults are like, oh my gosh, when are we going to get to the point? And then the kid drops in something like, and I was at the playground, da, da, da. And then I saw Uncle Tommy and he was there with a woman that wasn't his wife, but she was sitting on his lap. And suddenly as adults were like, whoa, what was that, right? And I think early on we learn that people like that kind of stuff. And so sometimes we inform simply because we like to be the center of attention. Okay? Sometimes we become the informers and we gossip because honestly, it makes us feel good to be in the know. It makes us feel special to have information that not everybody else has. The problem with having information that not everybody else has is they don't know that we have it. So we kind of let them know that we have it. And then they know we're special too, right? I struggle with that one. I've got some friends that are mentoring me from really large churches. And sometimes because of that relationship, I find out, you know, there's a new book coming out or something like that. And sometimes I find myself really tempted to drop that information. Well, you know, this church is going to do this or, oh, you know, so-and-so's got this book coming out. And I'm not damaging their reputations, but the reality is I'm informing people about things that it really wasn't my place to inform them about. And the reason I'm doing it is because I kind of like them knowing that I'm in the know, right? So that's another reason that we sometimes inform people about stuff. But the reality is, just because you have information doesn't mean that it's your job to inform other people about that information. I've got to be really careful about that. Here's a question that I find that is important for me to ask myself. It's this, is it my place to share this information? Is it my place to share this info? Again, it doesn't have to be bad information. It might actually be really good information. In fact, I'll tell you a time that I succeeded, but I really, really struggled. I came that close to not succeeding. My youngest daughter, Lene, she wanted a husky for the longest time. She was just like so obsessed with having a husky. She was so excited about it. And we said no for a long time. And then by the Lord's blessing, we were able to actually move into another house that had a little bit more room. And we thought, you know what? We're going to bless her. We're going to say yes to her getting a husky. And my wife and I decided together, Clette and I decided together, we're going to do that. And we talked about how to inform her together. And we decided we were going to do it as a Christmas present. But we made that decision like 2 weeks before Christmas came. And I got to tell you, for 2 weeks solid, like every time I saw her and I was by myself, meaning my wife wasn't there, I had like this deep-seated need to inform my daughter. I was going to tell her, oh, just, I want to let you know this is going to happen. Now you got to keep it a secret. And the only reason I wanted to do that was I wanted to be the hero. I wanted to be the one to get to see her face light up because of information that I gave her, right? See, sometimes I didn't. Okay, and it made for an awesome moment that we were able to reveal that information together on Christmas morning, okay? But see, sometimes we become the informer just because we want to be the hero, right? Maybe that's something that you struggle with. So that's that question. Is it my place to reveal this information? So that's one kind. Second kind of gossip is what I call the backroom whisperer. The backroom whisperer. And then the Hebrew word for that is ragan, okay? And the idea here is this is negative information about someone. And it's usually shared for the purpose of damaging their reputation. Either it's to make them look worse or it's to make you look better. And again, I'm not talking about false information, okay? False information technically is something called slander. We'll actually pick that up a little bit later in this series. Gossip is no, it's absolutely true. But by sharing it, you're causing damage to the other person's reputation, or you're making yourself look better. And I'll be honest, I struggle with this motivation. Not long ago, I actually found out that there's a pretty well-known large church pastor in America that built just a massive multi-million-dollar home. I found that out, and I shared it with some people. And I realized, as I was kind of preparing for this series, the reason I shared it was because I wanted them to have some questions about him. And the thing is, I don't even know the guy. I've listened to his preaching. I think he's an amazing communicator. I've actually learned from some of his messages, but there's a part of me, I'll just be honest with you, it's insecure and it's jealous. And that was an opportunity to maybe take him down a notch and maybe explain, you know, I would do it differently. That's not how I would ever do it. So that puts me up a notch, right? But the thing about a backroom whisperer is that it's whispered. In other words, it's communication that you're giving to people, and you wouldn't really want to be identified as the source of that information. You'd be embarrassed if it came out that you're the one who shared that, okay? And honestly, even if you can find it in a public forum, but you're with people that didn't know it, would you be okay if the person it was about found out that you're the one who told those people, right? So that's a really important question. Would I be comfortable being identified as the source of this info? Would I be comfortable being identified as the source of this information? And if the answer is no, don't share it. That's gossip. Third reason, I think, that we find ourselves leaning towards gossip, or the third kind of gossip that you might struggle with, is what I call the blabbermouth. And the Hebrew word for that is patha, okay? Now, it literally means one who just like talks too much. They're literally, actually, it's a wide open one. Like there's just no barriers, there's no filters. It's just out there, right? Okay, that's the blabber mouth. And typically, people who gossip because they're not being careful about their words, they're not out to hurt somebody. They're not even aware necessarily that the information they're sharing could cause damage or a loss of trust or whatever it is. They're not really thinking about it at all. The reality is they're just speaking too quickly. They're just speaking, and it's just out there before they even know it. And maybe they're not even aware that they've said anything that's a little bit questionable because they're moving on to something else really quick, right? That's the blabbermouth. That's patha. Check this out. If you just look back up, we were talking about Proverbs 20:19. Look at it again. It says, a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. Talks too much. The reality is, sometimes we gossip having no idea that we're doing it just because we're not careful with our words. Another proverb says this. This is Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. When words are many, sin don't stop, but the wise man shuts his mouth. by the way, if you're wondering, what is the CT translation? That is Craig's translation. But it's actually almost a very literal rendering of the original Hebrew. When words are many, sin don't stop, okay? Sin doesn't stop moving forward. Sin doesn't stop getting out there and spreading. Toxic talk doesn't come to an end when words are many, okay? But the wise man just shuts his mouth. I actually love this. There's a number of Proverbs that speak about this principle. Proverbs 17:28 says, "Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues." Man, I love that. Love it. You can apparently raise your IQ, or at least your perceived IQ, if you just talk less, if you just listen more. I think there's probably a reason why James, we talked about back at the very beginning of this message, speaking about the power of the tongue, also says this. He says, be slow to speak, okay? So the blabbermouth doesn't necessarily have bad intentions. They're just not careful. Because of that, they're making public what should have been kept private. So here's a key question. Does this need to be said, or do I just need to say something? Because one of the main reasons that I struggle with this one, again, it's not necessarily because I'm trying to hurt anybody or I'm trying to make myself look good. Sometimes I find myself tempted to do this kind of gossip simply because I'm in a situation where I feel like I need to contribute. Maybe I'm hanging out with some guys, and sometimes, unfortunately, what happens is guys start talking about their wives, not necessarily really bad stuff, just, oh, it's so hilarious she does this, or you guys have this issue going on, you know? Sometimes just light stuff, and sometimes I feel like, you know, gosh, if I don't say something, I'm not one of the guys, and so, like, oh, yeah, you know, Claudia does this, or how about this, you know? And honestly, it's not that I need to say it. It's not that it helps the conversation. I just want to be part of the conversation. And so I look for an opportunity to jump in. And so I end up saying something, not because it needs to be said, but just because I needed something to say. So that's a really powerful question. Is this something that needs to be said? Or do I just need to say something? In which case, maybe say something different, or maybe just don't, right? Okay, three kinds of gossips, right? Three kinds of gossips. Which one are you? Maybe take a moment right now, even if it's the person you're watching this with, or maybe you're watching at the same time as somebody around you that you can text with. Maybe you text them and just say, hey, I think this one's probably the big struggle for me. Which one is it? Is it the informer? Is it the backroom whisperer? Or is it the blabbermouth? I think most of us struggle with one or more of each of those three. But the reality is, whichever one it is, okay, it always has the same impact. Gossip destroys trust, okay? Gossip destroys trust, and it builds a wall out of the rubble. That's what gossip does. It creates division because it destroys trust, and then it uses all the broken pieces of that trust to build a wall, a barrier between us and the other person, okay? And that's why it's so dangerous. It's awful. And yet, it's addictive, right? Gossip's hard to get away from. And as I said already today, sometimes we engage in without even thinking about it because it's just almost automatic. Why is that? And I think it's because of what Proverbs 18:8 says. It says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They're like the best bits of food. And they go down to the inmost parts. There's something about gossip that just triggers our reflex for give me more of that. And so we give people attention when they're doing it. We get their focus when we're doing it. And they want more. And that makes us feel good. And so it goes down like a choice morsel, like the best bits of food. It's automatic. It's easy. It's addictive. But it's awful. In fact, the Apostle Paul, one of the early followers of Jesus, writing about a group of people that he said are far from God, he said this. He said, these people have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, of murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing wrong. These people who are far from God, and As he describes his people, one of the things he says about them is they're gossips. That's a pretty scary list of things for gossip to be found among, isn't it? It's a sobering reality for me. The Apostle Paul also wrote this, talking to a church that he was hoping to come and visit soon because he heard they were having some real problems. And he wrote this. This is 2 Corinthians 12:20. I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord and jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. Again, that's a very serious list of sins, of poisons, of toxins to find gossip among. But it belongs there. And many of us can speak to the reality of that. Either we've experienced its poison operating on us, or we have spread that poison and seen the impact that it's had on others. Okay, it's poison. It is toxic talk. So what do we do? Well, at the risk of being a little bit cheesy, but in the interest of memorability, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell the toxic talk of gossip to scram. S-C-R-A-M. We're going to tell the toxic talk of gossip to scram. And let me tell you this before we talk to you about what each of those letters means. Gossip is, it's rooted in our sin nature, okay? And that means that you don't have the ability to just stop gossiping. You can't just stop gossiping anymore than you just stop sinning on your own. You can try and you might make some progress here and there, but this isn't something you can accomplish on your own. This is only something that God can do. In fact, you might remember back at the beginning, we read a verse from the book of James that said that no human being can tame the tongue. You cannot remove gossip from your life. Only God can remove gossip from your life. Only God can remove the temptations from your heart that lead to gossip, okay? But one of the things the Bible teaches us as followers of Jesus is that we're supposed to cooperate with the work of God in our lives. God's given us the Holy Spirit as followers of Jesus. He's transforming us from the inside out, but we're supposed to cooperate with his work in our lives. And when we cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit, we often see faster progress. Okay? Only God can do this work, but we're called to cooperate. And so what we're going to do is we're going to tell gossip to scram. What does S mean? S means slow down. Slow down. As we saw, sometimes we gossip not because we're being malicious, not because we're trying to do damage, not because we're trying to build ourselves up or anything like that, but just because we're just not careful in our speech. So we're going to slow down. And again, the book of James says that we're supposed to be slow to speak. Slow to speak. So we're going to slow down. You might go, man, that's tough. How do I do that? Well, here's a little life hack. Good habits leak. And what I mean by that is if you establish a good habit in one area of your life where it's easier to build a good habit, you're going to find that that good habit leaks out of that area and begins to affect other areas of your life where it might be a bit harder to establish. Okay, so it might be really difficult to figure out how to slow down when you're just in the midst of talking to somebody, but all of us are constantly spewing language out there where we have a real easy built-in system for slowing down. That is that we text, right? And we write Facebook posts or we write emails or Instagram comments, whatever it is. So here's the thing. The next time that you type out some statement, whatever it is, no matter how long or short, the next time you type something out, don't hit send. Just step away from it for 2 minutes, for 5 minutes, and then come back and read it again before you post it or before you hit send. Read it again and maybe ask some of these questions that we asked earlier on. Is there anything in here that I shouldn't be sharing? In other words, is it my place to share this information? Is there anything in here that I'd be uncomfortable if somebody found out? In other words, would I be comfortable being identified as the source of this information? Or am I just saying this because I'm desperate to be heard? In other words, does this need to be said or do I just need something to say? Okay, so we're going to slow down. It's the first thing we're going to do. Second thing we're going to do is we're going to check our motives. We're going to ask ourselves, when I'm tempted to gossip, what exactly is it that motivates it, right? Am I the informer? I just want to be listened to. I want to feel good because I have inside information. What is it? Is it because I want to tear somebody down? Do I gossip because I want to actually bring them down a notch so I can bring myself up? Am I a backroom whisperer? Or Am I just not careful? I'm just one of those blabbermouths. That my words just get out there, and before I even realize that they've done more damage than I ever would have thought that those words could possibly do, because I didn't think about them. Okay, what's your motivation for gossip? I think it's important we identify that so that we can begin repenting of it, telling God, God, I'm sorry. I find this in me, and I'm so sorry. Please work it out of me. Please do. And then we can begin sort of recognizing it and working to resist as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit to resist that particular temptation towards the gospel in our lives. Okay, R is to remember who we represent. We want to kind of get in the habit of remembering that when I speak, it's not just Craig. Okay, when I speak, it's not just Craig, and it's not even Craig, the pastor of Mission Hills, or Craig, the husband of Coletta. I'm a representative of Jesus Christ himself. I was made as God's image, which means I was made to represent him in creation, extend his influence. I was redeemed by the blood of Jesus on the cross, and I've been privileged with the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with others, which means that they're gonna see me, and they're gonna form an opinion of who Jesus is based on what they see and hear from me. Okay, and that's true of you. If you're a follower of Jesus, that is true of you. So you need to remember who you represent. That becomes a powerful sort of resistant to the temptation to gossip. Okay, A, avoid tempting situations. As you begin to identify what motivates you to gossip, the next thing to do is to identify those situations where you're most likely to do it. Is it when you're in the comments on Facebook? Is it when you're texting with somebody late at night? Is it when you're in a small group of people that you feel a little bit insecure around? Okay, identify that situation where you're most likely to give in to the temptation. And then, as much as possible, avoid that temptation at least until you've gotten a handle on this gossip thing. Avoid that situation that's most tempting until maybe you're in a better place, or maybe never go back into that situation. Sometimes that's what we have to do to avoid spreading this kind of toxic talk. And then finally, M, make it a team effort. Make it a team effort. We're not called to do anything by ourselves. We're herd animals. God made us that way. So one of the most powerful things you can do if you want to get a handle on the toxic talk of gossip is actually to enlist some people that are close to you that hear you maybe in a variety of settings and say, hey, I've realized I have a tendency to do this. I have a tendency to go public with what should have been kept private, and I don't want to do that anymore. So would you help me? Maybe you come up with a safe word, and every time you think maybe you're heading down, or they think you're heading down that road, they're going to give you that safe word, or they're going to pinch you from behind, or they're gonna just suddenly burst in and like get in the way of anything you were saying. You know, I don't know, I'm kind of joking there, but the point is get some people around you that can help you do this. And if you have somebody you're tempted to gossip to on a regular basis, talk to that person and say, I need to get a handle on this. So when I start doing this, please, please call me on it. Why is this so important? Well, not only is gossip toxic, but the reality is that when we begin to get a handle on it, we actually begin to foster something much, much, much better. And that's this. Listen, when we keep private what should not be made public, we foster peace. When we keep private what should not be made public, we foster peace. We foster peace between us and others. And we foster peace between others and others. And that's a powerful thing that we need to be pursuing. Okay? So we're gonna get a handle on this. Some questions for you. Question number one, how can I slow my speech? Give some thought to that. What can you do to make your speech a little bit slower? Number two, what motivates me to gossip? Get a handle on that, okay? What motivates you to gossip? Number three, how can I remind myself of who I represent? What can you do? Maybe it's something you put on your mirror, or on your phone, or a reminder, but remind yourself on a regular basis that as a follower of Jesus, you represent Jesus and your speech does too. So how can you remind yourself of who you represent? Number four, when am I most tempted to gossip? You're gonna identify those things. And then number five, who can I ask to help me cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit in my life on this issue? Speaking of the Holy Spirit, who can do in us what we could never do on our own, including remove the toxic talk of gossip from our lives and our relationships. Let's ask him to do exactly that. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, we thank you. You are a gift to us from God our Father. And we know that you are aware of our temptations and our tendencies to gossip, as well as aware of all the damage that causes. Lord, we cannot accomplish on our own the necessary work of removing this toxic talk from ourselves. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to have your way with us. Do your work in us to remove this toxic talk. We'll cooperate as best as we can. We ask for forgiveness for all the ways that we have been public with what should have remained private. We have broken trust and created barriers and caused division. We ask for your forgiveness. We invite you to transform our language, our words, so that gossip is no longer part of our vocabulary. If you want to use your words for something really powerful right now, would you just begin speaking to God? Would you just begin praying to God? You're going to pray and you're going to ask him to do this. You're going to ask him to speak to the hearts of those who are listening right now, all over the world, who don't have a relationship with this God that we're talking about. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them because they don't have a relationship with God the Father. Would you just begin praying for them right now? And if that's you, let me just speak to you for a moment. Gossip is going public with what should have been kept private. I'm not going to gossip. I'm going to do the exact opposite right now. I'm going to make sure that you know publicly news that cannot be kept private. And it's this. God loves you. He loves you so much. He sent his own son to die for you. That's who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. He came. He lived a perfect life. And he willingly went to the cross and he died as a sacrifice for our sins, to pay for all the wrong we've ever done, for all the harm that we've ever done with our words, with our deeds, with all of it. He died on the cross and he paid for all of it. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And having risen from the dead, he offers us forgiveness, salvation. Instead of being far from God, we can be drawn near to God, have a relationship with God. And as I said, the Holy Spirit who comes inside us and begins to transform us in ways we could never do on our own. If you've never begun a relationship with God through trust in what Jesus did on the cross for you, you can have that right here, right now. Here's what you're going to say. The most powerful thing you'll ever do with your words right now, wherever you are, you're going to say this to God. Would you just say this after me? God, I have done wrong. I admit it. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Jesus, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for loving me enough to do that for me. I believe you rose from the dead. And I trust that you're offering me forgiveness now. I'm ready to accept your forgiveness. Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I commit my life to following you. I'm yours for now and forever. Amen. If you made that decision for the first time today, so excited. Love for you to do something for me. You can click the button that's going to appear. The host will put it in front of you just to let us know you committed your life to following Jesus. If you don't see that button in whatever format you're watching right now or listening, would you just do this? Would you text the word Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, to 888-111? Whichever way you do it, whether you click the button or you text Jesus to 888-111, you're going to get back a link, and it's going to tell you some things that are true about you now that you have committed your life to following Jesus, that you have said yes to following Jesus. We want to put that into your hands and enable you to begin living life with him and experiencing the transforming power of the Holy Spirit that he's put into your life in this moment. Cannot wait to see what God has to do with the rest of this series. This has been a convicting one for me. Hopefully it has been for you as well, because our words are powerful and we want to use them for good, not for evil, certainly not to be poisoning people. So please make sure you join us again next week. If you're in the Colorado area, cannot wait to see you in person on August 29th and 30th at the Littleton campus. But until next week, God bless.